Hey, this is Karen. I'm so glad you're here, and I can't wait to introduce you to my favorite people in the world, rock movers. Rock movers are people who are doing what others see as impossible. They are achieving goals that were once only dreams. She's probably a mom, wife, sister, friend, CEO, or entrepreneur, and she's an all-around rock star. While she's moving rocks out of her own bag, you can bet that she's helping move the rocks for other women too. And I know she's moving rocks for me. So come on in and join us and meet my rock movers. Hello, good morning, rock movers. Today is another fabulous Fan Friday, and I'm so excited to share someone that's brand new to my world that I know you're absolutely gonna love. And her name is Kelly Hopkins, and Kelly has just absolutely blown my mind with how she's able to connect with people and how she's able to move rocks for them through art. And so if you're someone that you're like, no, I'm not creative, I can't draw a stick figure, much less be artistic and creative, don't tune out yet, because I think you're gonna see that there's something here for you as well. So without further ado, I'm gonna introduce her and then let her take on with the rest of the show. So Kelly Hopkins is an experienced facilitator with over 20 years of working with individuals as well as groups, large and small. After a long career in social services, she turned her attention to the healing power of creativity. After 26 years, she quit her high-pressure job running a large countrywide program in Los Angeles, and she moved with her very young children to the jungles of Costa Rica. Wouldn't we all love to do that? Just pick up and move to Costa Rica. But this is where she began a healing process. She started an art connection group with her neighbors and eventually became her stress management coaching business, Soul Art Exploration. I love that name. Soul Art Exploration helps people shift their relationship with stress, taking them from overwhelmed to calm, clear, and decisive so they can thrive. And I have seen how art has transformed and beginning to transform our son who has special needs. So I'm really excited, Kelly, to hear the stories that you have to share with us today. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rock Movers.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we are so glad to have you, and I'm excited to learn more because like I just said, we've been introduced to just a snippet of how art is transforming the confidence with our son who has special needs. He's developmentally delayed, but he's started learning how to draw and really gained confidence there. And it's showing up, that confidence is showing up in other parts of his life. So I know that art is powerful, but I really want to learn more about you first before you start sharing. So can you tell us, our famous rock movers question to start the show is, how are you moving rocks for yourself these days?
Well, you know, I think one of the things when you first mentioned how are you moving rocks for yourself, one of the things that happened to me was that I didn't realize I had rocks on top of me. And so that was a really big thing for me. As you mentioned that I moved to Costa Rica, I was working full time for a really long time, and I adopted two small children, and I had both children and working full time, working 7 days a week. And I loved my job and I loved my children. And I did not know that I was in trouble. I didn't know that I had rocks on me. I didn't know that I had to move rocks. And so I think that's probably the first thing when you say that, that comes to my mind is awareness. Like the first rock that I moved was awareness of knowing and feeling that something was wrong and that I needed help. I needed my help. And I think that that was the first rock. And it was the most important one, because I think if I hadn't realized that I was in trouble and that I was buried by rocks, that I would not have been able to get out from under them. And I think I would still be there now. So I think that that's probably the biggest thing that I've also taken forward from that time, because now I check in with myself constantly to see, am I being authentic with myself? Am I in this moment? Am I being with myself in what I'm feeling right now? Because I think that that's where we get into trouble, because we just go through the motions and there's so many things to do. You know, I have two small children. I adopted as a single person, so I don't have a co-parent or, you know, anyone to help. And I have a business and I have my home. And so if I just go through the motions of taking care of everything, I lose myself. And that's what happened to me before. And so it's a regular check-in is a big part of the rocks that I'm moving for myself, is to check in with myself. I also find that I need, and research actually supports, meditation or mindfulness, a minimum of like 5 minutes a day. And so I put it in my schedule to pop up at a time when I'm generally alone, so that I can take that 5 minutes. When I take 5 minutes a day to meditate, I find that I'm in a much better place than when I don't. And so that's something that I regularly do, and that I put a reminder for myself to do, so that I'm able to keep that calm presence that took me years to regain after getting to a place where I was disconnected from myself. So I think that those are probably, awareness and meditation are two big aspects of how I move rocks for myself. And the third one is art. So I am not an artist. I never trained as an artist. I was actually told in junior high school that I was a terrible artist. And so it's true. And I got removed from the fine arts elective track because I was a terrible singer and a terrible artist. And so I was crushed, and I didn't do any art for 25 years for that reason. And I did other creative things. I was writing and I was acting and I was doing other things, but I never touched art. And so that art is not about the product, it's about the process. And so that's more true for me than even anyone that I work with. I still can only draw stick figures, but I draw my feelings. And I do that every single day. Every single day I use an exercise that I have called releasing emotions. And so whenever anything comes up for me, and it's less than 5 minutes, I just do it really quickly and get those feelings out. And so that's another big rock for me. Any sort of difficulty that I have, I process it with art, and that really helps me.
I love that. So awareness, doing that regular check-in, to just be honest with yourself and aware of where you are, meditating or just being mindful, intentionally mindful, at least 5 minutes a day, and using art as a way to express what's going on internally. And that art is not about the product, it's about the process. I love that. That just frees all of us up and eliminates that judgment.
And this is not my opinion. There's a great deal of research. The National Institutes of Health has done research on the impact of art. And there's, you know, obviously an entire art therapy, you know, profession and movement. And there's so much evidence now that's research-based about the impact of creativity. And one of the things that the research shows is that meditation, you're primarily working with your mind. When you exercise, which is also a great stress relief, you're working with your body. But when you're engaged in art, you're actually using both, because you have your mind engaged and then your body is engaged through the drawing or painting or sculpting, whatever form of art that you do. And so you're actually engaging two different systems at the same time. And then the way that I do it, I use journaling and meditation and visualization as well. So your heart and your soul become involved too. So it's a really holistic approach to wellness.
I love that. That's so good. So I think that leads us into my next question, which is, what are you doing to move the rocks for others?
Yeah. So actually, I'm a collaborator by nature. So I have my business, which is Soul Art Exploration. And in my business, I am working individually with people. And it's interesting, when I started working, I launched a new program in August, a de-stress through creativity. And I was expecting, because I've been primarily over the last 3 years, I've been working with adults, and I got a bunch of messages from parents of teenagers who were having terrible trouble with stress during COVID, being socially isolated with the virtual school, or going to school and being on a computer, not being able to touch people. And so I actually have a mixture of teen clients and adult clients. And the variety of things that we're working on social isolation, we're working on, you know, how do you perform in your job or school under the circumstances that we're all facing right now. Extreme togetherness is a rock that I'm moving for people a lot, because people have had extreme togetherness with people they love, but extreme togetherness with anyone creates issues and stress, because, you know, we're not intended to spend 24 hours a day together, you know? And so that has created issues for people in their families that I'm helping them work through. And people also having issues with loss, and having issues with self-esteem, and kind of looking at the way the world is changing and what is their place in the world. So those are just a few of the things that I'm working on with people individually. And then I love to collaborate. So right now I'm in the middle of two different collaborations. I'm doing a project called Change the World Now. It's actually a global collaboration, and it is going to start on November 11th. And it's going to be 21 days to change the world through a variety of modalities. So there's going to be, I'm hosting a hub here in the United States, but it's for the international community of art. And so it'll be short art exercises for 21 days and a closed Facebook group for people to work on themselves and over in a variety of topics. And then there's also hubs throughout the world doing different types of activities. So it's a whole global movement to try to support healing in the world. And I'm also doing a project for self-care. So I'm doing, in conjunction with another coach, I'm hosting a self-care through art 4-week class that's going to be available as like a Black Friday sale right after Thanksgiving. And that's going to be an online course where people work at their own pace. And there's also going to be a closed Facebook group for that. And it's going to cover what are we not giving ourselves permission for, and unconditional love, and a reflection, a weekly reflection through art. And oh my goodness, I forgot the last one. I can't remember it, but there's another self-care item that is going to be in that one. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Those all sound amazing. So I know that we'll share with everyone how they can maybe find out more information about these classes. Absolutely. And, you know, maybe any cost associated, but I'm so interested to know, because art seems so personal. So the fact that it's virtual, that even makes, to me, that sounds like it makes more sense, because I can keep everything that I'm dealing with, since I'm expressing my emotions and what's going on, very private, because it's done through this modality of this screen and my own time. And
so I would actually argue the opposite. So one of the things that I've found and in my work in Los Angeles and community building was the first time that I really saw it. But when people share, so whatever transformation you have going on, when you share it and you're seen and heard, in that new place that you've discovered, the healing and the learning are magnified. And so I actually encourage people in the one-on-one. I have a teen who's on the autism spectrum, and he doesn't put his camera on while we're working because it doesn't feel comfortable for him to look at me. But when he finishes his art, I ask him to turn it on and to share it with me and to tell me about it, because there's something about that being seen and your growth being seen and heard and acknowledged that really magnifies it. And the other thing that I've found is people other than me have great insights and have the ability for more growth to come from the thoughts and reflections, not on the product of the art, but on your process and what you're sharing. And so even in these Facebook groups and in the video format, I tell people it is highly encouraged to share to your comfort level what your process is, what you discovered, what came about for it, and your work. And that to your comfort level, you will receive back from that a great deal. You will receive support. You will receive acknowledgement. You will be seen. You will be heard. And in some cases, people will have insightful questions or comments that will help you grow in ways that I didn't even see.
Wow. That's just, to me, that's just like so remarkable, because my art experience has been literally those classes where you go and you like sip and paint.
Yeah.
That's the extent of my
art. This is not that. Yeah. No.
But you know, when I'm doing this, like I'm seeing something that's done really well and I'm painting it and I'm like, why doesn't it look anything like that? So when you're doing this art, it's very unique. It's very exclusive to you and what you're creating.
Correct. And you will journal around the topic before you ever go into the meditation and visualization to create the art. So everybody will choose something different. Yeah. Everybody will have a different experience in the meditation and the visualization. Never are the pictures the same. There is no example, and they're never in any exercise I've ever done in a group setting have the two pictures ever been anything like each other, because the topic is broad, but the specifics come from each individual. And then you have your own experience within yourself. And then the way that gets expressed on the page is also very individual. So it's very unique, and there's no like prize for it looking good. If it's about like when people get excited for each other, it's when they have a breakthrough or when they learn something new or when they're able to support each other through sharing. That's what excites people about the work that I do, not the pictures. Although people keep them, and a lot of times people will hang them because they represent a change, a growth, a new way, a new perspective for them. And so they're valuable, but not because somebody else might think they're beautiful.
So someone that's interested in being a part of your class, do they need to get canvas and paint supplies, or do they use a pencil and paper? What do they bring to this class?
So in my De-Stress Through Creativity one-on-one, that's my coaching, I actually send the necessary supplies that's included in the fee for the coaching. And so some of the weeks that we work together, because it's an 8-week process, some of the weeks it's paper and markers, crayons, or pencils that you might have around the house. But anything you need, I do a mask exercise. I do multiple exercises on canvas with paint. So you'll receive the mask, the canvases, the paint, and the brushes as part of the course. And then anytime I do these other collaborations, I only do exercises that are paper, pencil, pen, and crayons, markers, or colored pencils that everybody would have around, because I don't know what people would have, and I don't even know necessarily who the people are. And so I want it to be accessible for everyone. To be honest with you, if you only had a pen and a paper, you could do all the exercises. You would have some limitation in terms of, you know, you probably would see some colors in your visualization, but you could still execute the exercise and get a lot of value with just a pencil or a pen and paper. But if you have colors of any kind, that adds another layer.
Gotcha. That's so good that it's something anyone can benefit from with just things that you use daily.
Yes, absolutely.
So awesome. What about for people that might have a disability or a handicap and they can't physically draw? Are there other ways that they can still participate?
That's a really interesting question. I haven't had that come up yet, but I believe that it, what I would recommend if someone said to me, you know, I can't draw and I would like to participate, mm-hmm. I would recommend seeing if there's a trusted person, because it's really about the process of the information and the vision. And so if you had a trusted person, a family member, a friend, and they could write your words, you could also do an audio recording, because having being able to reflect on your words is part of the process. So you could do an audio recording of your journaling, or someone else, you could dictate it to them. And then the same thing, the visualization and meditation and the vision of your picture would be yours. And you would need a person to help you execute that vision. So you could describe to them, okay, I see yellow here in this shape, you know, and you would work together. And I could actually see that being a really beautiful process. But there's nothing about the process itself that would inhibit you in terms of the growth that comes from it. But you would need a trusted person to support you with getting the vision out of your own mind and onto a paper.
Yeah. So I love that. And the reason that comes up is in my career, my previous career, and then just my family, there are people that I've helped and worked with that are either going through, you know, they have a disability, or they're going through cancer, and they just aren't physically able to do some writing because of, you know, whatever their situation is. But those people always have, they have a caregiver, whether it's a parent, a spouse, or someone. And I can really see how this could actually give some clarity, maybe an opportunity for some deeper bonding, yes. Understanding and communication on some of the frustrations and underlying issues that maybe that person can't communicate otherwise. So yes. I love this idea.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that element of being seen and heard and acknowledged between a caregiver and someone who is receiving care would be huge, right. Because you know, you have that, you have a relationship that may be missing that sometimes, you know, where it's at some level, it's a business relationship. And so when you get underneath that and you can really understand where the person needing the care is coming from at a deeper level, that could really enhance that relationship in a remarkable way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, my head's just spinning with ideas of how this could be applied also with coaching, and how, you know, with the type yeah. of coaching that, you know, that I do, sure. when you have a situation where there's maybe a marriage that's going through some communication troubles, or a team at work, yeah. through some communication troubles, and having them do this as a group yeah. to, you know, just open up some areas of understanding over a specific issue, or just in general of each other and how we're processing what's going on right now.
Yes, I agree. And that's something, because of my social services background, that's something I hope to do at some point, to work with corporations and be able to do in-service trainings for companies, because I do think that it has a unique ability to kind of get to a different level for people, and that it may be really useful for team building and helping people really understand the ways in which each person contributes, and how we kind of, there's an intuitive painting exercise that I do where it's about releasing any attachment that you have to your work, and everything, it's intuitive painting involves painting over and over and over and over, like 6 or 7 layers. And so if you're attached to anything you paint, when you do it yourself, you have to let that go because you're going to paint over it. But when someone else comes and paints over something that you feel attached to, it's really a struggle. And so in a group environment, it creates a great opportunity to struggle with the attachment being to each other instead of the outcome. Oh, and it's a, wow. It's a unique way to look at that and kind of struggle through it. And you get a beautiful product that could be hung in a room in the offices, you know, as a result and as a reminder for people. Cause usually when you do intuitive painting, you end up with something that is actually beautiful.
That does sound amazing. And it sounds like the process would be both beautiful and painful at the same time. Because you said that someone's coming over and painting over, and I felt like that anxiety come up, like, no, I love this. And then they're painting over, and then it's like you get this other thing, and you're like, wow, we did that, not me.
Yes.
Something I did and finished it in a way I wouldn't have thought of. And that's the beauty of working with teams.
Exactly.
That's amazing. So what are some other things that you feel like people should know about you or about art and how it's changed your life? Because I know you talked a little bit about being burnt out when we talked before, and the move to Costa Rica was a part of that healing process for you, but then art came in. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So I think the thing that, for me, that I would want people to know is that I feel like I was so externally focused, and I was really, you know, spent the majority of my energy on executing, you know, my work and my parenting, and, you know, really, really trying to be the best person I could be in every regard. And I let myself down, because none of that was directed toward me. It was all directed outward. And when I realized it, I saw I was really disconnected from myself, and in many ways very empty. And so it was a process of trying to figure out, where does that come from in my life? Like, what are the origins of that need to look outside and to give away instead of to replenish myself? And and understanding that through art, and understanding, well, what is my value to me? If I do nothing for anyone else, if I do nothing outside, what is my value? Where does my love for myself come from? Where is my my center? You know, and that's something that I was able to discover for myself. And so I don't get knocked off of it very easily now. You know, like, I have stressful days, I have things come and go, and, you know, but my core is very centered and very self-loving. Like, and I realize now that I can't do anything for anyone unless I'm in a good place. And so I think that that's something that I see, particularly with moms, is that they don't take care of themselves. And like, the idea of spending money on coaching or spending money on things that are only for themselves is like, no, I can't do that. That's taking money. But I will tell you, I am a much better parent. I am much more available emotionally and in every regard to my children now than I was when I thought I was giving them everything, because I wasn't giving myself anything. And that limited what I had to give. And I think also that I was a bad role model for my children, you know, for them seeing giving and never taking for myself, that I don't want that for them. I don't want them to give all of themselves away to anyone, even their children. And so I want them to see me thriving. I want them to see me in a balanced lifestyle, you know, where I say to them, I have a meeting, and so you'll have to go play now, and I'm not going to be playing with you, you know. And there was a time when I was like, oh, I have to be there all the time. And now I see the value of that. And I see them to see, well, if you're pursuing your passion, your purpose, and you're helping other people, there's nothing greater in the world. And they see that in me.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's so critical for women to tune into that. So I want to just kind of summarize that, make sure that I'm gathering what you said. I don't want to misstate, but in coaching, very, very often, and I know I experience it too, we feel very selfish, that self-care equals being selfish. And it's so opposite of that. Self-care is very caring. It's not selfish. And I use the example of the flight attendant speech when you get on a flight. Yeah. You know, if the cabin loses pressure, you know, the air, the masks are going to drop out. Put your mask on first before you take care of someone else.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that. If we're not taking care of ourselves, we have nothing to give
to
our kids.
I had a client the other day tell me that, you know, she's really invested in the environment and in social causes. And I said, you know what, right now, I want you to take a step back from that. And you know, because you need to save you before you save any of these other people. And she said, but then I would feel guilty about that. And I said, but you greened your house because you knew that it was better for your children. You knew getting toxic chemicals out of your house was better for your children. Don't they deserve the toxicity out of you? Don't you deserve you to be clean? You know, don't you deserve you to be exactly where and how you want yourself to be? Isn't that the first place to start? You have nothing to give anybody until you feel good about yourself. And it, that she was like, wow, I've never thought about it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had a similar experience with someone that was single for a very long time and then got married. And so for a very long time, she only had to consider herself. So when she got married and began to, you know, she just had a baby, she felt like she no longer had that right, that it was a right to take care of yourself, but she no longer had that because she chose now to be married and have children. And we had to go through that process of, no, they need you to be the person you were when you were caring for yourself, because that's when you can give the most to your husband. That is the woman he married. And isn't that what you want for your daughter? Yes. To have that example? So I fully get what you're saying. I agree 100%. And we see it over and over and over again, sometimes with men, but predominantly with women.
And I think it goes back to my first statement. Like, I'm as guilty of that if I don't stay aware of myself as anyone else, because there are so many demands, you know? And so it, going back to awareness and self and that the meditation, taking those 5-10 minutes, it doesn't have to be a lot of time. I think that's the other thing is people think, oh God, you know, like with exercise for health, they recommend 30 minutes, like, you know, 3 to 5 times a week. But for stress management, 5 minutes is more than good enough. Walk around the block, do some jumping jacks, you know, do 5 minutes of yoga. Like, you don't, it doesn't have to be a lot of time, but taking the time and prioritizing yourself has such an incredible impact on your relationship with yourself and therefore your relationship with everyone else, that you really, you have to take the time and you have to be aware when you're not.
Yeah. And have you seen when someone is taking the time to take care of themselves that you see an increase in self-confidence, because now you've told yourself, I'm valuable enough to care for, and then it just automatically is this mirror of worth and value that you equate to your brain. When you take care of yourself in those little ways, your brain recognizes the value and you feel better about yourself.
Yes. And I think it is literally true. You were not counting yourself and now you are. Like, that was true of me in the, you know, before I moved to Costa Rica, I didn't see it. I didn't know that I wasn't counting myself at all. I didn't know that I didn't value myself because I was doing all this great work. I was like, you know, I saw what I was doing and I thought that that meant that I thought I was valuable. And it took that like, oh no, that's gone now. And I don't, when I sit alone with myself, I don't feel valuable. Why not? And then that was where my whole process started. And I feel so much better having that knowledge and being able to grow to a place where I genuinely care, respect, and value myself.
Absolutely. I think when you, in a conversation or, you know, just talking with my clients, if you sit down and you emotionally and mentally strip away the other parts of your life and you just get to me, if I can't find value there, that's when I know I'm off balance. Because if my value is in who I am to these people and who I am in my work, what I do, and who I am to, you know, my community or my civic organizations. It's all about the stuff that it's what, not who. Yeah. And I think it's so important to get back to that who. And I love that you're paving the way and moving the rock so that women can get back to their who. Who am I? You know, who am I to me? And how do I want to show up for those that I care about and for the world? I love that. I love that. So how can people find you? How can they connect to you?
Okay. So I have a website. It's soulartexploration.com. Okay. And I have a couple of the exercises that I mentioned, that releasing emotions exercise is available on the website for free. You can just click a button to get it. And then you can also book a free call to talk to me to see if maybe we would be a good match on the Work With Me page. And also I have a Facebook group. So if people are interested, I do monthly trainings in my Facebook group, and it's a free group. And so that's on Facebook. And I think you'll have the link in the notes.
Art exploration group.
Yeah, it's the group. Okay. There's a page and a group. So I have a business page, and then I have a group, and then I'm also on Instagram.
Okay. Well, I will be able to post all of those in the links here, so they'll be able to connect with you in all of those places. And I just want to ask you one more thing. If you could leave everybody with just one comment or one remark, something that you want to be remembered by, what would that be?
I think, you know, it's interesting, but I feel like the more connected I became with myself, the more available I've become to other people. And I used to really defend my positions on things. And I used to be very opinionated and aggressive in my defense of my opinions. And now I really see that we are all in this together, and together we rise and together we thrive. And so I am more interested in learning from somebody what they think and how they feel and why they think that way. And I'm really not particularly interested in my own opinions anymore. And I think that that comes from security in myself, and that my opinions are not me. You know, they're not who I am. And many of them have changed, you know, throughout my life, and will probably change again. And that I am, you know, at my essence, I am love. And that's what I want to be for other people. And that's, I want to be inclusive of wherever they are at and whatever they feel and whatever they think. And that's probably the biggest change in my life as a result of the work that I've done.
That is like brings tears to my eyes. So, so beautiful. The more connected I became to myself, the more open and available you've become for others. And I'm going to go back and replay that. And I think that that's an amazing quote for people to know you, because I think that is definitely what I've felt in our conversations that we've had. And I know that that's what people will experience by getting to know you and work with you, is you do come across as completely open and available and earnestly wanting to know how you can love more with your art, with your gifts, with your time and your talents. And I know that your children are very blessed to have a mom that fought so hard for herself so that you could be there for them authentically and now for others. So thank you for sharing that with me, with my rock movers, and with anyone that stumbles across this video. They're just going to be blessed by it. And I just want to thank you so much for your time today. And I'm going to get off of here before I completely ruin my makeup. But I just want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And again, this is going to show on a Friday. And I am definitely your fan. And I can't wait to learn more from you and go try your exercises and share those with my world. And I just hope everyone else will join us and try them and learn and just dig in deep on that self-care piece so that you can become more connected to become more available. I love that. Thank you, Kelly, so much.
Thank you so much.